Hi, and welcome back to Real Opinions. We're just going to be going through our most anticipated of 2018, kind of following on from our roundup one last week. Asterix.
Well, that roundup one was kind of our excuse to cover anything that we hadn't seen when we that we hadn't reviewed already. That we had.
It was
seen.
Like spring cleaning. Yeah. It's like films that we had seen, and we're making it worthwhile at least talking about it for 1 minute.
Yeah, I've seen a few other things since then. I saw Power Rangers. It was okay. I genuinely thought it was okay.
There you go. And now you've made it worth it.
But I saw Ghost in the Shell, and I didn't think that was okay.
You didn't think you didn't like it?
No.
Okay. Well, I haven't watched the original or the new one or whatever, but it's... I know, a lot of people love the original, so I think I'd give that a try at some point. But it was the time when it was most relevant for me to watch it is long gone. So yeah. I think it would just be something that I will only watch if it's on an offer on Blu-ray or something like that.
Well, I only watched it because it was the premiere on Sky. Otherwise, I'd have never bothered.
Oh, yeah.
Not care. One bit, basically.
It seems like the structure for this one is going to be, I've got up IMDb search titled year 2018 filter by popularity.
Okay.
That famous article.
That's cool. And I've also got up the Rotten Tomatoes one that just might have, because it has some small films in there, so there might be a couple of ones that would otherwise get missed. So I think between us, we could cover... We could be pretty extensive by our own standards.
Shall I just... I'll pick, the top one on here, then.
Yeah.
And then you just pick one out of wherever in your article, and then I'll slowly work my way down until we finish the
page.
That
sounds good.
Then.
Yeah, that sounds good.
So, actually, well, the first one, we could just turn it into an amalgam of stuff, because it's Infinity War, followed by Black Panther.
Okay.
And a trailer came out today as well for Ant-Man and the Wasp, so we could talk about that.
Good. That's good. Where do you want to start?
And that's just Marvel covered for that entire year, right? Is that are there the only Marvel films coming
out? I don't know when Captain Marvel is.
I don't remember the press release, it feels weird to say now for when a film is announced.
No.
It was announced at a conference 5 years ago. But yeah, Infinity War. I rewatched Thor Ragnarok about a week ago,
right.
Or less. And I enjoyed it more the second time, to be honest.
Good.
And I recently did I was editing the 2017 roundup, and I was thinking, and you were more positive about it than I was.
Yes.
And you're right, it does, yeah, I just enjoyed the fact that it was more colourful and it had more personality.
It felt directed.
Yeah, exactly.
It felt much, much more personal. Like a bit like how I feel about The Last Jedi. For all its faults, it feels like someone got free rein to do it how they wanted, and I think that's a better thing than bland committee film that might be less flawed but more.
Yeah. Black Panther comes out very soon now.
It's only 2 weeks, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, the premiere was last night. So, and all the reviews are coming out today now, and they're all, of course, they're all very positive, but again, that's what happens with every Marvel film. Marvel film that comes out is the best Marvel film.
I just saw the usual thing that you see every time, which is Twitter reactions are in, and they're great, but I remember when I saw that for Suicide Squad, Fantastic Four, and every superhero film, the Twitter review reactions that come in, they're always great because they invite people who they know will like it. And they're excited because they went to a premiere. So they're like, ah! I'm not saying that they're bribed. I'm not doing a conspiracy theory. I'm just saying they're inherently going to be positive because they were invited to a premiere, which makes them feel good.
Yeah. Well, even that is that... Well, normally they list them as fan events and stuff like that. I went to the one for Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
And they say at the end, you can tweet out your thoughts. And I don't want to tweet out something negative, right out the bat, because it just means that you're just asking for hate to come back.
Well, that's true as well.
Because not everyone's seen it. And Marvel films are the only films where, superhero films, sorry, the only films where Twitter reactions matter. You don't get... When the latest biopic comes out, people aren't anxious to get on Twitter to write their thoughts or something. It's only superhero
Did you not see the Twitter reactions for The Darkest Hour? they came flooding out.
I ship Gary Oldman with blah, blah, blah. Like, it's a really blown out, like, rose-tinted gif of him doing something cute or whatever. No, but with Black Panther, at least I'm interested in the same reason that I was interested for Thor Ragnarok, which is the production design, I think, looks interesting. It's not as colourful, I'll definitely give it that, but it's doing something that I've never seen before in a sci-fi film before, which is that, at least like with the Thor Ragnarok stuff, like it was kind of playing off Flash Gordon, like classic old sci-fi, was it Logan's Run, I think, is another one they cited for like being the stylistic choice for it. And there hasn't been a futuristic film set in Africa, obviously. It'll be interesting, at least, from a visual standpoint, I think.
Yeah.
But to be honest, I know that the moment that I go in there, it's just going to be another Marvel plot.
The thing that did sort of kill some of my enthusiasm was when I saw that the villain was basically evil Black Panther.
Yeah, again,
it was the villain that is just the mirror opposite of the hero. That made me go...
It's too easy.
But, yeah, I mean, I'd like it to be good. I'd like every film to be good, though, so that's a completely redundant statement.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember what the name of the film was, but the Rocky spin-off.
Creed,
yeah, that was by Ryan Coogler as well. I enjoyed that.
It was good. Creed.
It was in the emotional moments, it did get a bit just usual drama fare, but in the boxing scenes, it was actually well directed and it was enjoyable. And so basically, I'd give it more of a chance than Ant-Man and the Wasp or a Doctor Strange 2 or a whatever. Like, I'd give it more of a chance than that.
It is more exciting than a Doctor Strange 2 just because it isn't a sequel.
Yeah, true. It does have that benefit as well.
I guess we could segue on to this. I actually really liked the Ant-Man and the Wasp trailer. I thought it looked like a fun...
I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't think it was bad.
I thought it looked like a fun, like, Saturday morning cartoon kind of thing. Like, the bit where they shrunk the building and then the car blew up and they... That was cool.
Yeah, they're actually using the shrinking stuff to better effect, I think, just from that clip.
Because the fun stuff, as fun as him shrinking and growing himself is, a lot of the fun stuff in both Civil War and in Ant-Man was when they used those little discs to grow and shrink other things, like when they turn that little key ring tank into a full-blown tank, or when, in Civil War, when he throws the little tiny water truck and then it goes big. Like, that stuff was really fun, and if they're gonna use that stuff more, I'm sure it's still comedy heavy because it's Paul Rudd and it's Peyton Reed, but it looked like the action seemed to be a much higher quality than in the first one, just from that trailer alone.
So that jumped
up my anticipated list now quite a bit. In fact, I actually liked that trailer quite a bit more than I liked the trailer for Infinity War, which just looked so bland to me. So, small is the word I would use. Like, it's supposed to be this massive event where all these heroes, all these films have been building up. It's all gonna converge in this massive epic event. It's not like any film we've ever seen. And then it looks like a fight in a field.
Yeah.
Against the army from Justice League. It doesn't look any different. It looks the same.
Because I don't think that it's a story that can translate to film. I honestly don't think that... Because, I've not read the original comics for Infinity War. But from my understanding of it, it is just everyone fighting against Thanos, one guy, which you can't really choreograph into it. As well as it's got... There's something about, like, the scale in comic books where you can feel something is bigger than it actually is just by the way that it's drawn or the style of it. But with a Marvel film, you can't really do that because it's set up with the kind of realistic lens.
The Infinity Gauntlet story has Thanos literally wipe half the universe out of existence.
Exactly.
And this looks like it takes place all in Wakanda. I think it's Wakanda. It just looks like it's all there.
Well, I think, remember, they did originally make it so that it was going to be Infinity War Part 1 and Part 2. And I don't know what's happening with that anymore.
No, it's just Avengers 4 now. But this isn't called Avengers 3, which is confusing. Because whatever... the next thing is Avengers 4. So
Oh, I'm sure that they're waiting to subtitle that.
I don't know.
But the impression that I got from that is that Black Panther will like announce, will give away that the last Infinity Stone or something like that is in Wakanda.
Is in Wakanda, yeah.
And then like, what I inferred the idea was is that the rest of the film, Infinity War, is Thanos going to different places in the universe, getting the stones, pissing off the people in that area of the universe or whatever, and then Wakanda's like the last one that he has to get to, and then everyone joins together there as like a final battle against him, and then I assume they win or they lose, and then they have another final battle.
Do you remember like 3 years ago, 4 years ago, when this was going to be made by Joss Whedon? I wish it was still being made by Joss Whedon. Even though I know people don't like Age of Ultron, and I know that he had involvement in Justice League, but I won't blame him for Justice League. That was just a shit show for everyone involved. But at least he has a personality. And even though I liked Civil War, I still find it hard to get excited by the Russos because they just make generic films. And I did enjoy their last film, and I know that I crapped on that a lot before it came out, and then I went, actually, it's pretty good. But I don't know, I still find it hard to get excited about anything they do because it just looks so, like, exactly what I imagined in my head. Like, it doesn't, nothing looks surprising or different. It just looks exactly the same.
Well, it's because they can't end anything.
Yeah,
like, it's going
that's
to continue.
A problem too.
It's not a conclusion to like a trilogy or a series of films. Like, was it Harry Potter? At least that was 8 films. Then it ended. Like, you knew it was when they were going to split the books. At least you knew it was going to end. And I'm not saying you enjoyed Harry Potter, but I'm just giving the example that this has no conclusion feeling to it because you already know the film that's coming out after it.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, I know that we do this every year, and you're less guilty of it because you see the Marvel films and then you say, yeah, they were fine. And I know that I consistently go like, yeah, I'm kind of burnt out, I'm not excited, and then I'll see them and go, actually, I quite liked that one. But it still doesn't change the fact that when I look at this, I don't get excited. I'll probably see it and like it, unless it is, you know, the first major stumble from Marvel. I'll probably like it, but at the moment, I'm finding it hard to get as excited as I feel I should be by this supposedly massive event. It just doesn't have that event feel. Like, I remember how big and as silly as it sounds, important The Force Awakens felt when it was coming out. Like, it felt like a big, massive thing that for a month, everything was to do with The Force Awakens, and it was like a big cultural event. And this just feels like another film at the moment to me. It just feels like another film. And I want to be excited. I don't want to be like miserable, but I can't. I felt the same way about Thor Ragnarok when I saw the trailers for Thor Ragnarok, and I really liked it afterwards. But equally, I felt the same way about Doctor Strange. And I left Doctor Strange feeling beyond ambivalent, so...
Yeah. I felt like that for most of the Marvel films.
Yeah. So,
I don't think I would go and see Black Panther, but I would go see Avengers Infinity War. I think out of all the Marvel films, like, of all the ones to go see in the cinema, I think that one would be a good stopping point. The Avengers ones are consistently like the big markers of the like of the franchise.
Well, they're the phases for the most part. They are the phase markers that end the entire like portion of the cinematic universe. Although I still don't really understand what the point of these phases are because things just carry on the same when you enter the next phase. Yeah. But all the same, it does make them feel important.
I think it's because they realise that the idea of a continuing universe, like, that's not actually that exciting. I know I've called them, like, a glorified soap opera before, but that's what it becomes. It's just this thing is going to keep continuing until it doesn't. They were trying to make it like a trilogy, but bigger.
Yeah.
We have 3 phases, and so people go, oh, yeah, like, this is all part of something.
Yeah, it makes it feel like it's a plan.
Yeah, I just realised I sounded like the Joker when I was going for all of that. It's like nobody panics because it's all part of the plan.
Well, I mean, it does, because it makes sense, because I have no confidence that anything DC does is part of a plan, and it does make me panic. So
exactly, but it's true, isn't it? Like, so that does kind of help, yeah. I'm done talking about Marvel.
Yeah, that's what I thought. We're done. We'll probably talk about Marvel for the rest of the year, so.
Yeah. Do you want to pick one, then?
I'll pick one that is intriguing to me, and probably me alone, and I can't remember its name, and unfortunately my internet is being... Summer of 84. Have you heard of Summer of 84?
No.
It's from the director of Turbo Kid, which admittedly wasn't as great as
that. Explains why it's not on the most popular IMDb list.
Yeah, it wasn't as great as I wanted it to be, but at the same time, I take one look at this poster and go, I'm in, because it looks like The Guest or Krampus, like one of those films just sort of made appeal to me and me alone. It's basically an 80s throwback slasher mixed with Stranger Things type deal. A bit like if you've seen Fright Night.
I'm looking at the pictures now. Yeah, it looks very Fright Night from what I can tell. Yeah.
And that is very appealing to me, basically. It's a horror movie mixed with the retro aesthetic that I'm still not tired of. Like, I know it's become a bit kind of rote now, but I still get excited by it. I don't know, that poster's just cool. It's all I really have to go on at the moment, but it looks cool. And I think it'll be another one like Turbo Kid, probably, where it is massively disappointing. Until then, I think it's one that I'll be keeping an eye on, at the very least. Take a look at the poster if you're listening and you have no idea what I'm talking about. Look up the poster of Summer of 84. It looks cool.
Cool. Significantly different is Pacific Rim Uprising.
Yeah. Is that February as well?
It's 2018. I don't know. I think I don't care.
I think that is sooner than you expect. As someone,
I can't think about that film without getting that stupid trailer music though.
Yeah.
Already.
Yeah.
Already. It gets stuck in your head really easily.
As someone,
it's March.
Is it? Right. As someone who likes the first Pacific Rim more than I should, like as someone who is as someone who, I must have been like what 17, 18 when I saw it. You'd think I was 12 when I saw it, the way that I, like, the way that I think about it and the way I reacted to it. I do not feel anything about this film. It's the lack of Guillermo del Toro. The trailer looks utterly generic, and it looks more Transformers-y unless like a labour of love. Like, the first one, it felt like, irrespective of whether it was a big, dumb popcorn movie, I know that Guillermo del Toro really, really cared about his big robots punching big monsters. And this time it doesn't feel the same. It just doesn't feel the same. And I want to be excited. It's not that I look at it and go, that looks terrible. It's that I look at it and just sort of feel empty.
Like, yeah. No, but I feel exactly the same. Like, I did enjoy Pacific Rim, the original one, because it wasn't like he was making a serious film.
Mm.
Like, you knew he was just, I mean, he was enjoying it.
Yeah, it felt like a kid playing with toys in an endearing way, not like a cynical cash grab. Like, that's the difference. Yeah. Like when it's like Transformers or whatever, it feels like selling out or a cash grab or something market tested to hell. Whereas Pacific Rim just felt like Guillermo del Toro just going, monster smash.
Exactly. It felt like a passion project that knew it was stupid.
Yeah.
Is the main thing. And it was fine with it. And I enjoyed it for that. And yeah, I feel exactly the same way about this one. I just don't care whatsoever. And it feels like such a, like you said, a cash grab.
Yeah.
And I don't know who it's for, because I don't think Pacific Rim did that well.
It did massive in China. Massive in China.
That explains it then.
Yeah.
You don't need to translate punching, so...
Well, no, and it feels like Power Rangers already. Oh, that's Japan, isn't it? I'm being racist. Uh-oh.
Do you want to pick another one then?
Seems righty then. I'm going to pick... I don't know why I became Ace Ventura. 1 minute. I'm going to talk about a film, conversely, that I do not care about in the slightest. And that...
Good, because this isn't the most anticipated of 2018.
Slender Man. Oh, we're making films about...
I'm looking forward to that.
We're making films about memes. We finally got there. We're making films about
technically,
memes.
Technically, it wasn't a meme. It was a creepypasta.
Isn't a creepypasta... Isn't creepypasta a species of meme? Isn't it? Isn't that like...
It's got the same genus.
Isn't that like saying it's not a dog, it's a poodle? It's like... It is still a meme, right?
Oh, no, no. It's no, because spooky pastas are like...
Yes. Did you call it a spooky pasta? Well, why are they called creepy pastas? What is the what? Where does that derive
it's because,
from?
It's because trying to show my internet not history knowledge here. It's, it originally comes from like 4chan.
Okay.
And I think it was just like different pastas were different types of forum posts.
Jack.
And a creepy pasta was a creepy one.
Pretend for a minute that I'm not hip and down with it. What's 4chan? Pretend that you have to explain what 4chan is to someone who doesn't know. For our listeners.
Do you not?
For our listeners. Oh, for our listeners, I just... explain what 4chan
okay,
is.
Okay, sure. 4chan is the like one of the original message boards for where all the horrible, horrible memes come out of. Where the horrible ones come out of.
Do you mean horrible as in quality or horrible as in offensive?
Both.
Okay.
Well, no, the cringy ones more come out of Facebook now.
Okay.
But it's it was originally, so there was like a forum called 2chan from Japan, and then somebody from US copied that idea and made 4chan, which was just legally different. And it's still active today. Like, you can go on it, but it's basically, once you, every single post on the entire website is chronological for everyone.
Uh-huh.
Like, so imagine if it was Facebook, but when you logged onto Facebook, you don't even log in, it's just public.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's posts are chronological, and you can go back hundreds of thousands of pages.
Oh.
And so, it can be anything, like, it's just a lot of, it's basically where a lot of horrible, toxic, racist, offensive stuff from the internet comes out from.
So this is where this is where the memes are made.
Yeah, you know Pepe the Frog?
Yeah.
That's from 4chan.
So,
and stuff like that.
If we like destroyed 4chan, would it be like the Phantom Menace and all the memes just like shut down? like they all just folded
up? I think it's
up.
More that it's more than it becomes like you've destroyed like the wasp's nest, but the wasps are still out there and they don't have a place to live now.
Now they roam free.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just a website, really, but it's a horrible, horrible website. And I can send you proof of that later, but most people that know what it is just know it's a place to generally stay away from.
You sound like in a horror film, like the Harbinger, like the old man that would warn people away, like
most people around here
know not to go to...
I was thinking it's like Mufasa and Simba, like standing on Pride Rock. Well, we got distracted there. What was it? What was your...
Slender Man looks shit. Moving
Slender
along.
Slender Man. Yeah, okay. Mission Impossible finally filmed.
Yes. Yes. Mission Impossible Fallout, it's called, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. Did you know they were on the Graham Norton show last week?
What? No. How? What? Why?
Yeah, exactly. What? Well, because I didn't realize. I thought it was just always meant to come out this time. But but I was told, "Oh yeah, they were on Graham Norton last night." And I didn't know why, because apparently they'd booked a slot on the show to have interviews for the release of the film, and then when Tom Cruise broke his foot,
yeah,
they've had to delay the filming. So now they just went onto the show.
Oh.
And they said, yeah, the film comes out in a couple months, but the trailer's not here yet. So we don't have anything to show you.
Is it that soon? Oh, wow.
It is 2018, but it was meant to come out around February.
Oh.
But it's been pushed back to July.
Fuck.
So they just went on a talk show and they didn't have anything to promote. So I don't know what they
If
did.
I went on a talk show, I'd have just spent the entire thing talking about Henry Cavill's moustache.
I don't think he has it anymore.
Perfect. Even better. Now we can compare and see what he looks like. Oh, you know what? If he's already lost it, that's like an extra kick in the teeth to DC. Like they didn't even wait that long to just get rid of it. Like almost the day of the premiere, they were like, "You can shave it now." Watch them burn. Yeah.
I know you and Ben seem to both like the Mission Impossible franchise, but to be honest, I don't care at all for them.
Well, fuck you.
I have no attachment to them.
I like the third one very, very much. I think the third one is one of my favourite spy movies. The fourth one and the fifth one are good. But I wouldn't say that I'm, like, head over heels in love with them. I don't think. But the third one, I had quite a bit of affection for that one. And I'm looking forward to it, if nothing else, just for some spectacular stunts.
That'll be fun. For me, it's not like when I said I might go to the cinema to go see Infinity War, I wouldn't bother going to see a Mission Impossible film. Because I know it'll be out on
a streaming service
or whatever.
What you're saying is that even though you complain about constant comic book movies, you will go and see the comic book movie, but not the alternative blockbuster.
Exactly.
Okay.
The alternative blockbuster.
The alternative. I didn't mean it. Like.
I'm sorry. I only like alternative films like Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation. You know, those small indie flicks.
It is now. It is a small indie flick compared to the 400 million or whatever the Justice League cost.
It is like the only non-superhero franchise that still makes money except for Fast and Furious. Which also, strangely, for being a small, independent, alternative series, I also don't watch.
I haven't seen a single of them. Right, shall I now talk about my most anticipated film of the year?
Sure.
To mix things up. The film that is my number one, like if I only got to see one film in the cinema all year, it would be The Incredibles 2.
Ooh, I thought you were going to make a joke answer, but that's true. Yeah, nope. The Incredibles 2.
I was being completely sincere. Would you like me to do it again?
The Incredibles
I messed it up. The film if I can only see one this year, Oceans, whatever it's called. Oceans 8?
8.
Yeah.
8 or 9?
Fuck, 8. Let's see. It's Oceans, but less.
See, I don't mind that at all. Like, I think of all the franchises to do like a she-boot, it's the best franchise to pick because it's literally just people do a heist. Like, I don't have a connection. It's not like you're recasting the people. It's just completely different people.
Yeah, but my problem is that I don't like any of the people. It's just the...
Just the actors?
It's not like a particular gripe against the she-boot, as you call it. It's more just a gripe against these particular people I don't like. And there's no one as as Brad Pitt or George Clooney. They're just some women. Isn't James Corden, is it?
Oh, no, James Corden is in it. Yeah, you're right. Okay.
Oh.
Is your most anticipated not Peter Pan? Not Peter Pan, Peter Rabbit.
I was like, there's a Peter Pan? They do sequel to Pan? Like that I didn't know about.
Pan 2. This will go better.
This time he sings different Nirvana songs.
He's got a lot to work through.
No.
Sorry, Incredibles 2.
Yes, a film I am not cynical about. I mean, I say I'm not cynical about it. I'm worried because I like the first one so much and Pixar don't have the greatest track record with their sequels, and the fact that it's taken so long makes me a bit hesitant and a bit like, why is this taking so long? Why? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I can't not be excited about a sequel to one of my favourite films.
If Monsters University hadn't have been bad, I would be even more excited.
Yeah.
Actually, if Monsters University did not exist, I'd be more excited.
Yeah. I mean, this one has a slight advantage over those in that a sequel always felt more logical than it did to Monsters to Monsters Inc. or to Finding Nemo or to Cars. Like, this one actually felt like it could have a sequel. It even set one up. So that makes it feel a little less worrying. It is, for me, it is mainly that length of time. I can't remember an instance, apart from maybe Fury Road, where that boded well. I can definitely think of more examples where a long period in development hell has been a bad thing. I can think of quite a few. And I also think when the first Incredibles came out, obviously superhero films are a thing. Now they're a big thing. And I wonder how that will affect the Incredibles. Like,
that's, yeah.
Will it outwardly acknowledge that? Or will it just fall into the trap of being like one?
Like, The Incredibles is kind of working off, my comics knowledge is nowhere near as good as yours, but, like, isn't it the Silver Age?
Yes.
Like, it's trying to be, like, the Silver Age of comics.
Yes.
And no other films are doing that, except for, like, odd, like, actual independent ones.
Yeah.
Like the indie superhero films are doing that.
That's true.
Nothing else is doing actual optimistic superheroes.
No.
So they still have their kind of gap in the market. That's true. Even after like 12, 13 years or something like that.
Yeah.
When people say like, I got what they did at the end of The Incredibles, but I never felt like that was deliberately as like a, this is going to be a sequel.
No.
It was just like, and the fight continues next week.
Yeah. It wasn't necessarily a sequel setup. It was just, I know what you mean. But at the same time, it is still more of a bridge than Monsters, Inc., which has a very finite conclusion. And the same with Finding Nemo. Toy Story, I suppose Toy Story is the one thing that we could look at and go, Toy Story 2 is great. But that at the same time, Toy Story 2 was over 10 years ago. So
true.
I was a bit surprised when I saw that first teaser trailer, because I did kind of expect them to just age. But it's like Jack's still a baby, and the teaser's like him. It seems to imply it's almost directly afterwards, because it's him freaking out about how Jack has powers. And I was quite surprised, actually. I honestly expected it to be, like, 20 years later. You know, acknowledge a 15-year time gap. Have it like one of those Simpsons episodes, you know, where they do flash-forwards. Like, Dash is a deadbeat, like, drunk loser. Violet's growing up to be a lesbian.
Those always made me so depressed, though, in The Simpsons. Whenever they did that, it made me feel depressed. And that's the thing, is that I'm really glad that they didn't do the time gap. I'm really glad they didn't.
I don't.
Because then it just loses the charm, and it makes it, it doesn't feel timeless anymore. Like, it's why in The Simpsons they don't age. Like, because it means that you can jump back into the series.
No! No.
Why would you?
No.
But it's the same.
I want deadbeat Dash. I want Mrs. Incredible and Mr. Incredible to have got like separated. Mrs. Incredible's with.
Oh yeah, that'd be
Mrs.
Really
Incredible's.
Happy,
Mrs.
Yeah.
Incredible's married to his boss. You know, the one that he throws through the window. She got married to him.
Good.
There's a twist. There's a spanner in the works. Violet's moved away.
Violet is running for... Yeah, but she's the head of the university student council.
Yeah. There we go.
And she's Frozen's dead. Because she's just...
Get on it, Pixar. Right. There's your Incredibles 3. Just them, like, wondering what happened to the glory days. He's gone through his midlife crisis, but now he's...
That is sort of part of... Yeah, that is sort of part of Incredibles 1 anyway.
Yeah, but that was different. That was
gain
just...
it, just to lose it all again.
Yes, exactly. It's harsh. The kids need to learn that that's how life goes sometimes. They will reflect that they are aging with their audience. The kids who watch The Incredibles are grown up now. Is that what's going to happen, do you think? Or do you think we're going to make a fairly standard sequel?
It is still my most anticipated of the year.
Yeah.
I agree with you. It is my most anticipated, definitely.
Is that more anticipated than Star Wars? A Han Solo smuggler Ron Howard Star Wars story trademark Disney?
No, I'm not. There's too much going wrong with Han Solo for it to be good at this point. I'm really surprised they did not push back the release date.
Yeah, that felt actually... arrogant. I would use the word arrogant on their part.
The thing is, that means that either there's so much that they're using of the original stuff anyway, that why did you have to fire them?
Yeah.
Or it's completely rushed. Like, there can't be an in-between that.
That's true. And the fact that as well, like, the other thing that's quite concerning is it's not just like, oh, we didn't like their style. It was things like, we had to bring in an acting coach to teach the main guy how to act, which was like,
yeah,
uh-oh.
Exactly. That is very worrying.
An acting coach? I don't think I've ever heard of anything like that in such a major production before. We had to bring in a teacher.
The thing that I read is that, they do actually sometimes bring it in.
Mm.
Like, I was surprised that they say that sometimes professional actors actually bring their own coaches with them. Like, and I thought, oh, that's interesting. And then they said, however, bringing one in halfway through production is not normal, and that doesn't not happen.
And what you just said was the actors bring their own in, whereas isn't this Disney made him?
Yeah.
Like, Disney went, you need to sort your shit out.
Or they're used to kind of like Singing in the Rain thing where they bring in like elocution or like speech therapists or whatever to get like an accent so they can keep that happening, but not acting.
We just fundamentally need to teach him how to act. Please, Joey Tribbiani on set. No, it is very concerning. It sounds like a disaster.
I mean, the trailer could come out and I could change my mind completely, but at this rate, it's just the fact that they've said that they're going to drop the trailer several times and then they don't, and then, I mean, I suppose the Super Bowl seems like it's probably the best bet now.
I don't know when that is, because I don't know sports, but yeah.
Well, you're talking to sports fan.
I know you watch it. Yeah, here. I remember you used to watch
it. I do actually watch the Super Bowl every year, and so that's why I know it's in February. That's the only reason
is
why
it?
I know
it
that.
Seems like it should be a sunny thing. Like, they play in the sun. Why are you playing the cold, the footballers?
It's this Sunday. It's this Sunday.
Is it?
Yeah.
I'm in touch.
Well, it can be sunny sometimes in America in different bits. Like, it's going to be sunny in California. I mean, it's not in California, it's in Minnesota, which is snowy. But it's
bizarre.
I'm getting distracted, but it's either going to be that or it's going to be Black Panther, like, tagged onto that.
Yeah, yeah. Or Jurassic World, The Lost Kingdom.
Ooh, segue, great one. yeah, we've already had a trailer for that, strangely enough.
Yeah.
I like that they took the note of, I think you're taking things too seriously from the last one, and said, screw you, we're going to kill everything in a giant fiery explosion. I really liked that direction that they took.
I honestly don't understand what the abject, vitriolic reaction to that trailer was. I thought it looked... because it came out around the same time as the Infinity War trailer. I thought they were of a more or less comparable quality, to be honest. And I don't understand why one was loved and one was hated. They looked like more or less the same.
The Fallen Kingdom trailer was bad.
Really?
It was bad. I just remember seeing it and just hating it instantly.
Oh.
I mean, and you know me, I wasn't, like, I didn't hate Jurassic World as much as a lot of critics did.
Yeah.
like, I liked some bits of it, and I didn't find the bits that a lot of people complained about as bad as they as they thought. But this way, it just seems so... Why do I want to see everything get destroyed? What's the fun in that?
Because
why do I have to see
to
a T-Rex get
go.
Smushed by a giant boulder? That's not fun.
Because you have to let the past go to make way for something new. Let the past die.
Let the past die. No. New meme. Fresh meme.
Is that there a meme yet? It's got to be a meme.
Yes,
right?
It is.
That was. Is it bad that the first reaction I had after Last Jedi? Because Star Wars is just a meme factory. My first, as soon as I left, I was like, "What scenes are gonna be memes within?"
Oh, it was definitely topless.
Topless him, and I thought the caretakers looking annoyed at Rey was definitely gonna be like me and my friend when we see someone we don't like or something.
Topical.
but yeah, where were we? Oh yeah, fiery death. I don't know. I thought the fiery death looked fun.
I've only just I'm watching this now. I'm like, I don't remember this at all, and then I realised I didn't. I watched the teaser. That was enough for me to really hate it. I haven't seen the trailer.
I like the bit where the compy looks like a toy, like it's in a toy shop, and then it moves, and you realise, oh, it's a real compy. Yay! I like that bit.
I don't know why they need to destroy things. I just wanted them to, like, have to go back for some other reason. Or, you know, there's a... Why destroy everything? It just feels like...
Here's a Max Landis pitch for you. All right? What if you took Jurassic World, but mixed it with Blackfish, and it was a documentary about people exploring animal abuse and the disaster of the first film? There's a Max Landis pitch for you. Give me money, please. Give me however much you got.
That
for
is
Bright.
How he ends. That is how he ends. Just give me money. The only other film I completely forgot was coming out was X-Men, Dark Phoenix.
Yeah. It's not even Bryan Singer anymore. I mean, another rapist.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, he's one of the worst ones.
Yeah, by all accounts. They've had Bryan Singer and Brett Ratner in that franchise. That means that only Matthew Vaughn has emerged as, like, that he's the only X-Men director not to diddle.
You could put that on his business card.
Yeah.
I thought, I was thinking, oh, we haven't seen that much for it, and then I just clicked.
It's November.
It's November.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's ages away, so...
Do you care?
Pass for now.
I mean, I liked Apocalypse as much as everyone else. Apparently, as much as the machine decided we weren't allowed to. I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun.
Obviously, it was a step down from the recent ones, but
yeah.
I enjoy X-Men exponentially more than Marvel films.
I just remember a certain critic that kept constantly going on about how terrible Apocalypse was, like it was, like you'd think it was fan-four-stick or something, but then in the same, like, Twitter rant, also mentioning how Civil War was great because of Bucky's hair.
Yeah.
And I thought, is that a little bit of, not bias, but a little bit of, like, You're obsessing over one film, over Marvel so much that someone's hair is worthy of a tweet to you.
Shall I go through like a speed round of stuff that is
Could I do one more that I want to do before the speed round?
Sure. Well, we can do one and then I can do a few quick fires and then you can do another one.
Suspiria is being remade. By the guy who made that gay film that just came out.
What's Suspiria?
Oh, it's an Italian film, an Italian horror film from I think the '70s. It's one of those. Oh, I'm going to make myself look like a right tit. Giallo. I don't know how you pronounce it. It's based
gelato.
It's Italian. It's like the Italian slasher. Which is like a mix of
it's like
you would take like one part American slasher, and one part kind of like Hitchcock, and one part weird psychosexual drama, and mush it all together into something really weird. And Suspiria is like the one. It's the definitive one of those. And it's
by the guy that did Call Me By Your Name.
He's remaking it. He's doing the remake.
Oh, okay.
And it's that makes it slightly more promising, because even though I haven't seen that film and I can't imagine it's going to be for me, at least it's got like a respected name to it. It's not like Platinum Dunes are doing it or anything.
Yeah.
For reference, Platinum Dunes, a Michael Bay's production company who do all the really lazy horror remakes. And they'll get like music video directors in or something. You know, it feels like it's got a certain level of legitimacy to it that most remakes wouldn't. And I think that while the idea of remaking Suspiria under any other circumstance would make me go like, I don't know, at least it has a feeling that it's like, rather than a cash grab, it feels like someone actually wanted to remake it and had an idea. You know, it feels like a proper remake, not let's do this for brand recognition. Because really, Suspiria doesn't have the biggest brand recognition. It's not like remaking Friday the 13th or whatever, because people know the name. It just feels like something that someone actually wanted to do, which makes it a little bit more exciting. Also, the first Suspiria is one of like a handful of films that actually freaks me out. So the fact that someone is doing a proper remake is moderately exciting. It's a good film. If people haven't seen Suspiria, I would say you should watch it, because it's unique as a horror film in that it has like a really almost fairy tale-y kind of style to it. It's very, very colourful. It's the most colourful horror film I can think of. Really bold, vivid colours, and like almost childlike, dreamlike imagery that makes it really creepy, and a really, really good score. It's a very uniquely made horror film with its own visual style that I think makes it creepier. It's not just like arty visuals for the sake of it because it's foreign. It actually does make it scarier.
Well, I really liked Call Me By Your Name. I thought the director was great for
that. Of course
you
did.
And I haven't seen his other stuff. Yeah, I did. Actually, thank you very much. But, so I would definitely, like, I would go see the other film. I wouldn't bother to go see, was it A Bigger Splash, the film that he did before, because it looked like, it just looked boring.
Mm.
But if he did a horror film, then I could be definitely interested in that. Right, now shall I go through my
quick fire
spiel? Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again, which is somehow both a prequel and a sequel.
Honestly, I'm so glad you mentioned that. It's The Godfather 2. It is genuinely the same. You haven't seen The Godfather. Have I exposed you as a fraud? Have I exposed you as a film fraud? The Godfather 2 is part sequel, part prequel. It shows how it basically...
I didn't know that.
...continues Al Pacino's story whilst also showing you the prequel part of Marlon Brando's character, who is his father, and drawing parallels, like showing how their journeys were basically the same and how like history is repeating itself. Right. And that is basically exactly what Mamma Mia 2 is doing. It is the Godfather 2 of musicals. But the point
I was
going to
say, at least that's interesting because it's different, but it's not apparently, so great, there's my 1 point gone.
But the thing I wanted to say is I can't imagine why anyone would be excited for it, even fans of the first one, because
there's no
song. It's
songs.
Like, surely Mamma Mia was the greatest hits. Surely they selected the best ABBA songs when they thought they were just going to do one. So now it is just going to be the reject shit that they didn't think was good.
Also, I think they're doing new songs as well.
Are they?
They've got the two guys from ABBA, not their wives, ex-wives technically, but the two guys, and they're doing more songs for.
Oh, okay. I saw that Cher was in it, and I nearly.
Oh yes,
it was the most painful thing. Oh, another quick fire one that I just want to mention, just to tell the story that I've already told you, is Sherlock Gnomes. Sherlock Gnomes. When I went to see Coco at the cinema, a trailer for Sherlock Gnomes came up. And it looks like it was the most repulsive thing. And it looked absolutely toe-curling. And there was, like, awful, awful pop culture references and innuendos and terrible, terrible jokes. And right at the end of it, this little kid just started screaming. I mean, like, not just like he went a bit upset and crying, like screaming, "Mummy, I don't want to see this." Screaming. And I have never felt more in touch with another human being than I did with that child. I was like, "I know how you feel." that is exactly what internally I was doing, just shrieking.
It's got to be the biggest change for a sequel to go from a Shakespeare play turned into garden gnomes to suddenly now it's a Victorian mystery detective.
But the Shakespeare characters are still in it, so...
Yeah, I know. Why?
Okay. Shared universe.
Red Sparrow, generic.
Black Widow. It's Black Widow's backstory from Age of Ultron.
It is, basically. They saw that people wanted a Black Widow film, so they thought we'll get there first. Yeah. What's the difference of a Black Widow? Red Sparrow. There you go.
It's like an asylum film. It's like an asylum film, but he got left before.
The Irishman, Martin Scorsese, is coming out this year. I know that that's meant to be like a dream project of his, but that, to be fair, also so was Silence.
And so was Gangs of New York. And so was Goodfellas. Yeah. He has a lot of dreams.
Exactly.
Bless him.
The 1517 to Paris, which is Clint Eastwood. But it's about the three guys that stopped that terrorist attack on a train.
Oh, this sounds like Sully.
It's exactly like Sully. It's 5 minutes somehow turned into a whole film. But the only thing that interests me about that is that it's actually the three guys that stopped the terrorist are playing themselves in their own film.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's
so
different.
I would be interested in that just to genuinely see if they can
do it.
Be decent actors, yeah. But it's like, it seems like they realised that there wasn't enough to say, so they're just going through their whole backstory. It's like a biopic for three people and them stopping a terror attack, and I'm sure it'll be just under 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Rampage.
Have you ever played Rampage?
I didn't realise it was a video game until I've just read the IMDb page.
Rampage is a comedy video game. It's like a parody of B-movies.
Oh.
This film is just a self-serious Dwayne Johnson action movie.
Yeah, it is serious.
It's like, it should be more like Mars Attacks, you know, like sort of a knowing throwback, like intentionally jokey thing. But it's not. It's just San Andreas 2.
No, I don't. There's nothing positive to say about it. I really don't care.
Yeah, that's
Predator, Shane Black.
That's my second most anticipated. I forgot all about that. Not only is it Shane Black, not only is it Predator, which are two very cool things, but it also has Boyd Holbrook in the lead role, who I thought was cool in Logan, and I would like to see him in something more. And he's promised that it will be jokey, and I have there's a small sliver of me that hopes that the Predator will turn out to be Trevor Slattery. They'll, like, unmask him and it's Ben Kingsley again.
I'm excited for Predator. I haven't seen the original.
Yeah.
Sorry, I haven't. But I like Shane Black.
It's a different type of blockbuster as well, because it can't be... It fundamentally, unless they do something massive to change what Predator is, it can't be massive-scale, city-wide destruction. It's just a group of people facing down against one thing, which is weird to say refreshing, but it is, and it will feel different. Yeah, it will feel different from the fact that it's not Predators. It's the Predator. Like, they haven't even tried to throw in loads of stuff.
Yeah,
I'm very excited for that. Actually, I just hope when a trailer comes out that my excitement is maintained.
Next is a trilogy of more superhero films.
Oh.
Venom.
Is that this year? Oh, okay.
Yep. It's already finished filming.
What?
Yeah.
Oh.
Untitled Deadpool sequel.
Oh, yeah.
And as well as...
Aquaman.
Yeah. Aquaman, which is December. Finished filming.
Yeah, it's like December, that one.
It's directed by James Wan.
Yes. Who has one of the most inconsistent careers in all. But
I didn't know they were making that this year. I don't give a I don't care. Why?
Did anything about Justice League make you excited for an Aquaman movie?
No. No. I was going to say, if anything, it made me less excited, but that couldn't be possible.
No, I can't. I'd be... I have hope for Deadpool. I'm a bit concerned because Atomic Blonde wasn't great. I feel like they got the wrong John Wick director to come in. But yeah. Nothing that I've seen so far has given me cause for concern, particularly. As for Venom, I'm weary because I just don't even understand what it is. I don't understand. Is it MCU? Is it Sony U?
I don't know why I should care.
And why is there a Venom film before Venom exists in Spider-Man? Mm. What's going on? That feels like the kind of decision DC would do, where they've we're doing the Suicide Squad before you even know who the Joker is. It's
well, they were
going to
do the Sinister Six or something, weren't they?
Yes.
So it's kind of, I think it's just, they probably just thought, yeah, let's keep going semi along with
do
that.
Do you remember?
Because we've already got half a script for it.
This is not a joke. You're going to think I'm making this up. But do you remember when Sony were honestly pitching an Aunt May movie? Like, I'm not joking. That was the thing.
I don't remember that at all.
Why are you groaning? Like, that would be just the shot in the arm the superhero genre needs, because I can't imagine it being the same as anything else. I don't even know what it would be. I was so intrigued about the hell the plan was.
But it sounds like a fan film. It does, like, it sounds like a 20-minute fan film that even then they wouldn't think of enough stuff to fill it with. It's actually not three superhero films. There's a fourth one, technically.
Spider-Man.
I've got Hellboy.
Oh, is that this year?
Yep.
Is it? I'm really excited.
Also, it has a mini plot synopsis.
Yeah.
Which is Hellboy comes to England where he must defeat Merlin.
I'm excited for that because it's directed by Frank.
No, it's not.
No, Neil Marshall. Not Frank Marshall.
I was looking at this like, it's not Frank anyone.
Neil Marshall. It's directed by Neil Marshall, who made The Descent, which is a film that I like very much. And he made Dog Soldiers, which is a film that I like very much. And he made all the best episodes of Game of Thrones. So I'm excited. He's as good a Guillermo del Toro replacement as you can get. And I think David Harbour is as good a Ron Perlman replacement as you can get for that role. So yeah, I'm actually more excited about that than I would have been if you just told me that they were rebooting Hellboy and I didn't know anything else.
And well, I've only got one last thing to point out, which is Mary Poppins Returns.
Okay.
Which I'm optimistic for. It can do entirely new songs. I like the songs from the original, but I don't have enough of an attachment to say why they remake. It's not even a remake, it's technically a sequel.
Can I do what you did to me? Which and is just what? Say that I've never seen Mary Poppins.
So? It's not...
Well, fuck you. I think you should see Predator, dickhead.
Okay.
And The Godfather 2.
I guess I'm just more understanding.
You hack fraud.
A lot of critics say that Mary Poppins is the best film ever made.
A lot of people say The Godfather 2 is the best film ever made, but whatever.
That was the joke. I've covered everything.
Okay, well, can I mention the film that I was going to mention before I found out about Suspiria? And it's a film that I know you're excited for, so I'm surprised that you missed it out. And that is Ready Player One.
I'm just going to leave silence.
I genuinely think we should just not say anything and then have that in the video.
I think just end the episode.
Yeah, no, that's actually good. Well, other than that, there's that... I don't know if you care about A Wrinkle in Time.
Oh, no, I did forget about that. Yes. I don't care.
Okay, good. Do you...
Apparently people are attached to the original book or something. It seems like a generic Disney adventure film to me. I don't care.
And are you remotely attached to Annihilation from Alex Garland?
No. I don't. I keep forgetting that that's happening as well. I mean, it's... it wasn't that funny. It was,
No, it was... I laughed because it was so sincere. Like, it wasn't, like, you trying to be funny. It was just your honest reaction, and it made me laugh. Just, it was so cutting and blunt. Just, no. When's Harry Potter and the Fantastic Beasts and the Dumbledore?
No, that wasn't the list. That wasn't the list. I forgot about it.
Alp and the magic wand of the beast.
It's called... it's Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald.
Are you excited for the Fantastic Beasts Crimes of Grindelwald? I can't. I'm not even trying to be funny. I genuinely can't.
I think that everything that's come out after the seven books is being god awful.
Yeah. Well, I don't like Harry Potter, so it.
I've discovered there's a second page to this IMDb page, so I'm really going to quick fire through this. So, Ocean's 8, Peter Rabbit. Halloween.
Ooh, about that. Danny Dyer presents Halloween for some reason.
Danny Dyer?
Not Danny Dyer.
I'd see that.
So that... Danny McBride. I that was wishful thinking. That was me.
Yeah. Robin Hood.
Oh, Origins.
Yeah. The Bumblebee film is coming out.
Yes, and isn't that from the director of something?
He made Kubo and the Two Strings.
Yeah, that was it, yeah. Kubo and the Two Strings was good.
And then he's making Bumblebee? No. The Hurricane Heist?
Oh, that's
which I think is a spin-off as Fast and Furious, I think.
No, have you not seen the trailer?
No, not
it's,
yet.
It's about people robbing a place in the middle of a tornado.
Yeah, oh, I got that just from the poster, and that's enough for me to enjoy it. Sicario 2 is coming out.
Yeah.
Apparently it's already been filmed.
Yeah. That feels like a straight-to-DVD sequel.
Yeah. Yeah. There's also Mortal Engines is coming out this year. Okay.
Which I thought was directed by Peter Jackson, and then I found out
it
wasn't.
I thought it was as well,
and
then I went, until I've just read it right now.
And I went,
yeah, now I don't care.
Now, yeah, that was kind of what I did too.
Yeah. Wreck-It Ralph 2, Ralph Breaks the Internet.
Oh, that's your third favourite Disney film, getting a, sequel.
Yeah, classic, that one.
If anyone doesn't know what we're talking about, he did genuinely say that Wreck-It Ralph was his third favourite Disney film. We have that on camera.
Yeah, it was a mistake.
In our Disney video, you should look it up. He says it, and he means it.
Basically, it just seems like it's Wreck-It Ralph does the Emoji Movie.
But people will like it this time, because it's not the Emoji Movie and it's Disney.
I think I would like anything that's not the Emoji Movie. And the Jungle Book sequel?
Oh, no, wait. Is it Mowgli or is it Jungle Book? I think Mowgli's out this year.
It's directed by Andy Serkis.
Yeah, that's not the Jungle Book sequel. This is...
Oh, it's just another Jungle Book, isn't it?
Yeah, they were making it at the same time, and then Andy Serkis has got delayed. And it's a shame, because Andy Serkis's sounds so much more interesting, and now everyone's going to be like, I don't need another Jungle Book. Teaches how they're going to sound, exactly like that. As if there hasn't been, like, 60,000 fucking Romeo and Juliets, but whatever, knobs. hypothetical knobs. His sounds so much more interesting, because A, it's not a remake of the Disney film, it is a re-adaptation of the book. And secondly, he's talked about making it scary, which was interesting because he didn't use the word dark. Dark would be like, that's the obvious thing to do. It means make it mopey.
That's the buzzword.
It means make it serious. But scary sounds like, scary can be fun. Scary can be fun. And that made me more excited for it. Also, it's Andy Serkis, which is much cooler.
All right, I think that's just about everything then.
Yeah.
Of all the stuff that matters and a lot of stuff that doesn't.
Yeah.
Really, really briefly, I saw a trailer for a film today because I went to go see The Post this morning. And there was a trailer before. Have you heard of Alpha?
No.
It's the story of the first pet dog. I laughed so much in the cinema. Like, as in it was set up like it was Neanderthals, like in a forest.
Yeah.
And they were like fighting, like Ice Age style. And I just thought, I thought it was an advert for like a car or something at first, because it looked like it was the same kind of cinematography kind of style. And then it just kept going, and I was like, oh no, this is a film. And like the guy finds like a wolf, and he starts feeding it, and the wolf becomes his friend. And it does like the dramatic text in between, like action shots saying, witness the birth of the relationship that has shaped mankind.
Oh, fuck, I love him.
Between man and dog. I thought it was genuinely going to say man's oldest friend or something like that is man's best friend is also his best ally or something, like something awful. But I can't believe that's a stupid film. Okay, I know that we said that that was the last one, but one other one that I just found by going even further into the list is that Bradley Cooper is directing a musical.
Oh, Star is Born.
Starring himself and Lady Gaga.
Yeah. It's a remake.
Well, there you go. Is it? Great.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was it for 2018. Yeah, but they're not coming back well. That's the problem. 2018, that's a lot of the stuff that I'm sure that we'll never actually watch coming up in the next year.
That's the most we'll talk about.
At least it was fun. At least it was fun to talk about, yeah. Thank you very much for listening. And hopefully the next podcast will hopefully be our best of 2017 to go back again.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
we'll see how that goes.
I mean, the longer we wait, the more films from 2017 I get to see, so.
Yeah, thank you very much for listening, and see you next time.
Adios.